is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, hoop heads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish home machine. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Coaches, do you have a point guard or leader you're going to be counting on next season to run the show for you? Don't leave next season to chance. Thousands of coaches send their players to a point guard college camp each summer to learn to think the game, lead a team, and run the show. Your players will be smarter, better leaders, and better equipped to foster a championship culture next season in practice and in your locker room. I've seen firsthand how PGC camps have had a huge impact on players and coaches that I know, both on and off the court. You can go to pgcbasketball.com to find a 5-day, 4-night camp near you. That's pgcbasketball.com.
Here we go. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. This is Jason Sunkel, and I'm pleased once again to be joined by Justin Matcham from the Cavaliers Central podcast. Justin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you as always. Again, continuing on here, another good USA game. I'm happy to be here, happy to break it down.
Yeah, so, you know, once again, USA basketball decided to show up. Now, I will say, the first half had me concerned. They were up four at half, I believe. Yeah, four. Mm-hmm. So they were up four at half. And then something happened in the third quarter, and his name is Kevin Durant and Jason Tatum. So those two things happened in the third and fourth quarter. I believe with like 3 minutes left in the game, they had gone 19 for 23 from the field in the second half. I don't know what they ended up doing from the field, but it was, as a team, that's pretty crazy. That's really, really good. That's shooting at a high clip. I mean, when JaVale McGee got four garbage minutes and scored 10 points. Listen, 13
points.
Oh, even better.
Wait, it was 10. My bad.
No, 10%. No, it's 10. He has to be, if we were points per minute, he's probably leading the team, right? He's got to be.
He has to be. I mean, with his little
he had like played. He had like, yeah, 8 points the other day with like only 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So that's pretty hilarious. Olympian JaVale McGee, Cavaliers legend. Anyways,
I'm unironically thrilled for JaVale. Like, it's so much fun just to watch him get in there, and like, I think he will like have a useful purpose at some point, like with this team, just because he is a big body, and like they're saying it on the broadcast today, just how like he's almost made for Olympic basketball with like the goaltending rules. Like those were made for guys like JaVale McGee. But no, like he's getting in there and having fun. Like the moment he got in there, they set up an easy dunk for him. Like actually like grabbing the ball and like making some impressive finishes. Like I'm unironically really, really, really happy for JaVale.
Yeah, and once again, Jeremy Grant only got 4 minutes. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, I know that there was some hot hands and you weren't going to take them out. But, I mean, Devin Booker was pitiful again. And I don't know how – what does Jeremy Grant need to do to get more minutes in your eyes? Like, what does he need to do?
I don't really know what he needs to do exactly. I mean, now, if you were to get in there, and I think he airballed the only shot he took. It was a three.
It was a beautiful shot.
I don't blame him for that again. You're not really in rhythm checking in at the end of the game. But if somebody else got in foul trouble, you know, maybe he becomes a situational guy. Like I said, I thought he should have played in that France game, but that was only because they ran Keldon Johnson over him at a time when they needed a bigger body in the game. If Adebayo is going to play well, if, you know, Durant is going to play like that, you know, if you have Draymond going, Draymond had a really good game today. I think you can, you know, Jason Tatum obviously went off again. If you have enough of those other kind of, you know, forward type guys going, I don't think you need Jeremy Grant. And clearly, like, they don't see Jeremy Grant as on the level of these other guys. And, yep. You know, yeah, Devin Booker had an off night tonight, but it didn't really end up mattering.
My favorite Devin Booker moment was, like, 20 seconds into the second half when Pop pulled him out because he blew a defensive coverage and fouled.
Yeah.
That was
5 points and five fouls for Devin wasn't a great night. But I understand playing him over again, Jeremy Grant. Devin Booker only played 10 minutes in this game. And I think having Devin Booker, at least attempting to get Devin Booker in rhythm and getting him his looks, is more important than getting Jeremy Grant looks at the end of the day. You're going to need the shot making of Devin Booker more so. Especially when you have what I think Grant mainly offers, which is defensive versatility, and a guy like Draymond, who also had it going today.
Yeah. Draymond looked really good. That was the best I've seen Draymond play basketball in like 3 years. Truly, I felt, and he only played 15 minutes. I felt like he was out there more because he was making impact plays when he was out there. So kudos. I've never been a huge Draymond Green like stan, but I thought he played really, really well today. I was pretty happy for him. So, and, you know, when it comes down to it, he's a good veteran presence to have there. Obviously, him and Durant have history, so they're good friends. And I think that you can tell that Draymond cares, and I want people that seem to care. And he's not one guy that I've questioned any of the games that they've played that he's been giving forth effort, because I think he truly does care, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And, overall, I mean, you know, I think they said, you know, he's yet to miss a shot, and it's not like he's taken that many, but yet to miss a shot in the Olympics.
It's pretty good. He was 3 for 3 today, so
Including two threes, which was, you know, they kind of blew it out of the water there at the end, but like a couple of those three, like that one three was like really at a pretty important moment.
He had a three at the top of the key, and then he had he drove to the basket on subsequent possessions. I believe there was back to back possessions, and I'm like, who is this guy? Who's doing this? So he scored those two baskets in a row, and I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. I didn't expect that out of Draymond. So kudos to you, Draymond. As far as the Czech Republic goes, you know, like, I give them a lot of credit. They hung around there in the first half. They didn't have the firepower to keep up. Satoransky looked pretty good. Vesely looked pretty good.
Vesely had that one putback dunk, I think, off his own miss. That was pretty cool to watch.
If they would have made some shots, they could have kept it interesting. But the bigger problem was they just turned the ball over. This Shib guy, I feel like every time he touched the ball, I know he scored 17 points. I just feel like you never knew if he was going to turn it over or not. And
yeah, 5 for 6 on three, but did have 5 turnovers.
Yeah, so he definitely hurt them big time. But overall, you know, I give them credit. They hung with them for a little bit. And like I said, after the first quarter, I was like, oh God, the USA is down 25-18. And then I heard them talking about, oh, the Czech Republic has gotten off to really good starts in the first half and first quarter and most of the second quarter. But then they start to fall apart at halftime. I'm like, oh, well, that's good news to hear. And then we saw the third quarter. It was just a landslide after that. So.
Yeah. And again, like we know that this is what Team USA is capable of. You know, Jason Tatum just got into a groove in that second half where he couldn't miss. Kevin Durant didn't seem like he could miss the full game. Ended up 8 for 11 from the field, 23 points, 27 for Tatum. Kevin Durant breaking the all-time Olympic scoring record that was held by Carmelo. So congratulations to him on that. That was cool to see it, and it was on a pretty difficult shot too. That seems to be pretty automatic for him at this point. But again,
yep.
you see, like, when these guys are hitting shots, you know, LaVine made shots, Durant, Tatum made shots, you know, Draymond Green made shots. Like, when they hit shots like that, they're not going to lose. But when we see in the first half where, again, like, this team, when it was still a game, had some problems again with interior defense. I believe it was Belvin and... who was the other big guy that they had that got in some? Maybe it was just Pelvin. But either way, still a bit of an issue where, like, even, like, against Draymond in the post, they were able to draw fouls on him. They were able to just get, you know, to some hooks and overpower defenders sometimes down low. It seemed like they did a better job at, you know, limiting the amount of switches of guards onto bigs, at least in a situation where they could get posted up, which was good. But that lack of size is still kind of something that you can see is, you know, clear disadvantage for the United States, which is why I'd like to maybe see JaVale get a little bit more playing time than he is right now. And the other thing is just continuing to overpass at times. Again, this is a team full of tough shot makers that, you know, don't need a lot of daylight to get in what is for them a good shot. And when they just move the ball over and over and over and over again, when they pass up good looks for them, that sometimes end up in turnovers, sometimes end up in, you know, late shot clock situations where you're just forced into a more difficult shot, or, you know, you're passing up sometimes an open shot to get a more contested shot, whatever it may be. Again, on a team that is just full of shot makers, I wish they would just take the good looks that they have a little bit more often.
Yep. Listen, I completely agree with you. There were like two or three possessions in that first quarter that I think they were made like three or four unnecessary passes. And listen, I understand that the three ball is our game, but I don't even remember who it was, but someone got to the lane and literally could have just taken a layup and had an easy 2 points, and they kicked it out for a terrible 3-point shot. We just have to – I understand that 3-point game is our thing, all right? But we have to be smarter. When we can have a layup, it's 2 free points. Make the layup. Don't need to pass it out for 3-pointers. And listen, they're going to take enough 3-pointers. If you get a layup, take it. And that's my opinion. And I know that's not necessarily the way of thinking now with the NBA because, you know, if you shoot three, the more points you get, the better. But listen, I just know that a layup is 2 free points. We should do it. I don't know how you feel on that, but
and I think these guys know that as well. I mean, even, you know, looking at the way that the game has shifted towards analytics, I mean, analytics still say that layups are the best shots to take. I think it is just trying to... I'm not even sure that it's just, you know, trying to get 3 points instead of two is as much as it is just pass up, you know, the quote-unquote, you know, be unselfish and just pass up a good look for a better look mentality. When, again, these guys kind of just have to realize that, like, you can all make difficult shots. And it even happens, like you said, on times where it's even open shots, even open layups. I mean, this is not the first time where they get an open layup opportunity and pass out of it. So I don't hate the amount of three-pointers that this team takes, and I think they should drive more to the rim sometimes when they weren't hitting them, especially in that France game where they just truly were going to live or die by the three and not do anything different. But, yeah, I do understand what you're saying, and I do agree with you. It's just finishing around the rim is going to be something this team has to be a little bit more willing to do than they are right now, yep. Maybe.
All right, so we don't know who Team USA will play next, and we don't know when they'll play. We have to await the results of – there's two more games. I know Slovenia and Spain is one of the games. And then, for my personal sanity, I don't know who you would want to play because we're going to be in the pool winners – bracket, it sounds like. So that means that the three pool winners and then us will be in that portion of the bracket. So I'm rooting, I don't want to root against Luka, but I kind of want to root against Luka because I don't want to see them in the next game because I'm afraid.
It'll be Luka or who? Slovenia or who?
Spain. I would probably rather see Spain, right?
I would probably rather see Spain. Ah, I don't know if I can say that. I might rather see Slovenia. Bite me, but I feel like Spain is overall a better team. To whereas, like, I think there are enough.
But but Slovenia has probably the second best player in the tournament right now.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Because Durant, I'm saying Durant's one, okay? But I think Luka's two.
You're probably right. But I also think they have literally nothing else. And again, I could be completely wrong about this, and we could play Luka and he could drop 65 on us. But I'm hoping that the reason that Luka has been able to be so elite in these Olympics is because he's going up against teams. And I have not watched any of Slovenia's games, so I'll start by saying that. But the hope is that he's just not going up against as good of defenders as Team USA might have. Again, if we can get Drew Holiday pressuring him the entire game on the perimeter, put Draymond on him when you have to, put Tatum on him. I'm hoping that those guys can bother him enough to where, like, he's still going to go out and play well, but you can contain him enough, and then I don't think anybody else in that team really does much of anything for them. So
yeah. So here, so pot one's going to be France, USA, Australia, and the winner of Spain and Slovenia.
Okay.
Pot two is going to be the loser of Spain and Slovenia, Italy, Germany, and the winner of Argentina, Japan. So, God, of those three, like, of those four teams, France, Australia, Spain, and Slovenia, who do you want to play? I don't know if I want to play any of those teams.
I don't want to play any of them. Again, so in order, I might go, like, as far as who I would most want to play. I will say Slovenia, probably Spain, Australia, France.
I don't know how they do the draw. I'm guessing, I don't know if they just pull it out of a hat or what they do, but I just have a bad feeling that we're going to end up with France again. That's what I'm going to guess. And then we're going to, but maybe that's a good thing. Maybe they've played them and, I mean, really, we've played France, we've played Australia twice, right? They played Australia twice, right?
Well, no, we only played them once because COVID.
We were supposed to play because of COVID. Listen, you would think they could figure those two teams out at this point. They played them once. They can't take them lightly. So, I don't know.
France still kind of scares me. France is such a big, physical, inside, dominant team. They still scare me.
Okay, so the latest betting odds for gold... has USA still as the number one. Australia is number two. Slovenia is number three. France and Spain are tied with the fourth highest odds.
Hmm. Interesting.
I don't know if it's... that's from yesterday, so... I don't know if it's changed since yesterday or not. But
no, I mean, like, it's all good teams in that pool. Like, there aren't any teams that...
Man, I really wish
you're
we
done,
were in that other
you're
wish
done
we were in
playing
that other
Iran.
Pool.
Yeah, oh my gosh, Germany, Japan. Yeah, put us over there.
Germany, Japan. Listen, I'm telling you right now, it's Germany, Italy, Argentina or Japan, and then obviously Spain or Slovenia. Whoever loses the Spain or Slovenia game has got a cakewalk, in my opinion, to the finals, right? I mean, that's just my opinion, but who knows? I guess maybe things could change, but anyways... as far as the draft, and we're not going to spend a too terribly long talking about this, Justin, but I just wanted to get your, and I know you're going to have an episode coming out soon, shortly for the Cavs Central Pod. Your overall thoughts of the draft and any observations you made. I mean, we were pretty much dead on in those first few picks. We did a good job in our fantasy fake mock draft. Your thoughts on Mobley for the Cavs / any surprises that you saw? My biggest surprise being the fifth pick, personally. I didn't think Scottie Barnes was going to go that high. So
that was the fourth pick.
Or fourth pick, I'm sorry, fourth pick. So your comments on the Cavs picking Mobley and biggest surprises.
Well, I'll start with Mobley. Again, I think it was absolutely the right pick. Again, you know, being somebody who watches the Cavs and cares about the Cavs as much as I do, it really is something that I feel very, very, very good about them landing him. So, you know, very, very happy about that. Again, I think looking at those top guys, yes, Cade, you know, was probably the easiest fit, you know, alongside the rest of this Cavs group. But I think if you just look at a pure fit standpoint, Mobley is a much cleaner fit than Jalen Green. And not even looking at his fit, just looking at his players, I think it's so clear what Jalen Green is good at and what he is going to be good at, and like why he has potential to be one of the best players in the league and why he has potential to be like the best scorer in the league. He seems like he's almost, again, barring health issues, almost a lock to be a guy who at some point averages 25 in the league, which is insanely impressive to say about somebody before they've even played a single NBA game. But with Mobley, like I said, I think you just kind of have another level of potential just because of the physical profile and the skill set that he already has to complement that. The mobility, the passing, the feel, the shooting touch from within, you know, inside, that gives you optimism for his outside shooting. Even his handle, you know, his ability just to block shots with his length and, you know, just, again, timing on the defensive end. I think all of it is just definitely something that any Cavs fan should be really, yep, really, really, really excited about. And going out and getting Ricky Rubio, I thought was another good move. Again, immediately becomes one of the best defenders on your team. We knew this team needed an upgrade from Damian Dotson and Matthew Dellavedova as backup guards, and Ricky Rubio is just that. You know, you're not committing too much to him. He's an expiring contract. Again, we talked about how this team kind of had an issue with the amount of forwards they had on it. Taurean Prince, I think Taurean Prince is a good player, but realistically, he probably just wasn't going to get that many minutes next season because it was going to be between him and Dean Wade to, you know, who was going to pick up the scraps in that forward rotation just because there are so many guys, and there's another guy here with Mobley now. So I thought that was a really great move as well. And like you said, I think we nailed the top three picks. I think those were, we pretty much saw those coming within the last couple days. Then we got to picks 4 through 13 or so. And I don't know if I expected any of them. I think almost all of them were surprises.
Who was the foreign guy was the biggest surprise to me. Some guy I'd never even heard of.
Which foreign guy?
The first one that was off the board.
Josh Giddey?
Yeah.
You hadn't heard of Josh Giddey?
No, I feel like I'm out of the loop.
Oh man.
But where was he projected to go?
He was projected to go around 10 or so, I'd say, on most people's
mock
drafts.
And where did he go?
6.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's right. So, but that was one guy I was like, I didn't even recognize the name. So
yeah, but Scotty Barnes definitely threw me off. I did not see that coming. I thought Suggs just made too much sense for that team. Again, not only from a best player available standpoint, but also seemed like the perfect guy to kind of take over post Lowry for Toronto. Seemed to really be the guy who could complement Fred VanVleet really, really well in the backcourt, and wouldn't kind of, again, create a bit of an issue at the kind of forward spot for this Toronto team with Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby. But that's kind of the thing with Scottie Barnes, is just the versatility that he provides. Obviously, he played point guard for Florida State at times, and we could see him playing some center, I think, even alongside Pascal or alongside OG for the Raptors. Just that's, I mean, his ability to guard basically any position, and just his size and speed, I think, allows that, in his strength. And you know, he's really, you know, built to handle, you know, bigger guys. So I didn't hate the pick at all. It did throw me off a little bit. I think at that point, Jalen Suggs for the Magic was a no-brainer. I don't love that for Suggs as much as I would have liked Toronto, just because, again, seemed like a winning player going to a winning situation was just a perfect fit. And I'm not really sure where... I'm not as big of a fan of this draft for the Magic as most people. I feel like I'm still really not sure where the Magic are heading with this group. You have a nice collection of young players, and I really do think that Suggs is a very good player. I think Jonathan Isaac is a really good player. But outside of that, you know, I wasn't a big fan of the Franz Wagner pick. I'm not the biggest Franz Wagner fan there is out there. I would have much rather had Moses Moody in that situation or another handful of guys. But yeah, other than that, I thought Josh Giddey definitely threw me off. I thought Kuminga was the pick there. But again, if OKC sees something in Giddey, I understand that. It's not like they reached, you know, out of nowhere to grab him like the Spurs did with Josh Primo, which, again, Josh Primo, fine player. I'm sure the Spurs know him better than I do, but did not see that one coming. I think the Warriors made out insanely well in this draft. I really, really, really like and believe in Kuminga. I got to watch him work out once in person, just briefly. this summer, and I really think his shot looks good. And obviously, he's built
like an NBA all-star. Look at you hobnobbing, watching people do personal workouts. Where was this at?
This was in Tampa, Florida. I got to watch a quick snippet of him playing. But it was just something brief. But I got to, like I said, I am a believer in Jonathan Kuminga. I think he's really going to be a good player. And if this works out for the Warriors, which again, Golden State, maybe not the perfect situation for him, but I think if it does work out, he could be the guy who kind of, you know, maybe not leads this franchise in the path, in, you know, the post Curry, Clay, whatever era, but definitely helps them move that along and maybe raises their ceiling, you know, short term as well. And again, I thought Moody, look at me, I'm like Kendrick Perkins now. Mood, I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to say Kendrick Moses Perkins. Moody's name. That was Listen. Hilarious. But I thought Moses Moody should have been a top 10 pick. I thought him slipping to 14 was kind of crazy. I definitely like the Warriors picking him up.
I think the Warriors had a good draft.
I'm not thrilled that the Warriors had as good of a draft as they did, but I really, really did, thought that they hit this out of the park.
Well, they're a playoff team next year for sure. They were a playoff team before these guys. I think they could definitely be not a team I'm going to want to play, quite frankly. I'm not ready to say that they can win the West, but, you know, if these two pieces fit and Wiseman can somewhat play basketball and Clay comes back and he's healthy and Draymond continues what he's doing at the Olympics, listen, that's a dangerous team again. And quite frankly, they have the experience. Those top three have all been in four finals, or five finals. Like they have the experience. They could run it again. Like they could, theoretically.
Yeah. So. It was interesting to see where Chris Duarte went. I knew the Pacers liked him, but you know, just some of the older guys in the draft. Chris Duarte, I believe, is already 24. I'm looking up his age right now.
So you're saying he's the Brandon Weeden of this draft?
Essentially, yes. A guy who is going to be 27, almost 28 when his rookie contract is over. But, you know, I think a guy who you can believe will be a rotation player for the Pacers from day one. To be seen if he can ever, you know, kind of reach a starting wing level. But guys like him, guys like Kispert, I think it was an interesting pick for Washington again, showing that they want to kind of try to continue to put win now pieces around Beal, maybe signaling again. I think we pretty much know that Beal, at least at this current moment, seems to want to stay in Washington. So I think, you know, as much as I maybe don't agree with that direction for the team, just because they're kind of going nowhere as long as they have Beal, unless
they're up a creek without a paddle. They're like rudderless. They're basically treading water right now. And listen, I guess this is a good time to talk about it, Justin. The Westbrook to the Lakers trade. Listen, I am looking forward to the first game when I love LeBron still. I'm a huge LeBron fan. I'm looking forward to the first game that Russell Westbrook just does something completely confounding at the end of the game. And LeBron starts pulling the last of whatever's left of his receding hairline. Last of his receding hairline out of his head. Listen, you know it's going to happen. It's going to become an instant meme. I'm here for it. I'm excited. I was texting with a friend about this trade, and I said, I am intrigued, I'm appalled, and I'm really excited that this trade happened, because I think it's going to be, it could either be a really good thing for the Lakers, or it could be a train wreck. And I'm hoping that it's kind of a middle between the two. But there's going to be times that it's going to be a train wreck. There's going to be time that it's going to be awesome to watch the three of them playing together. Granted, they've got to all be healthy and all those things. But, you know, it'll be interesting. The thing that I am concerned with is they traded away three really big pieces. And there's been lots of scuttlebutt about these other people, like Carmelo coming. Carmelo, DeMar DeRozan taking a pay cut, coming. And listen, if that happens, the starting five would be pretty crazy, because you probably could put Carmelo in the starting five or something. And come on.
I don't know if you want to start. I don't want to start Westbrook, LeBron, DeRozan, Carmelo, Davis. I don't know if I'm going to start Carmelo unless I really don't have any other options.
Well, I mean, a guy could dream. That would be a pretty awesome to watch top starting five. I know
Carmelo's three. That's three really bad defenders around LeBron and AD, and still not a lot of shooting.
Well, but I you're probably right. But I mean, I don't know who else is going to start for them right now as the current roster is constructed. Take DeRozan and Carmelo aren't on the roster. Who are the next other two starters?
I think they bring back Talen Horton Tucker. I think that he'll end up back there. So I'm going to include him. And right now, probably Mark Gasol. Either Gasol or, like, McKinney. And again, they're going to get other guys in there.
Yeah.
But,
Chris Paul.
Not Chris Paul.
No, he's not coming out. Listen, the Westbrook trade basically signaled that Chris Paul is not coming to the Lakers.
Chris Paul was always going to be near impossible to get there anyway.
Vet minimum, basically.
Even if you were to opt into his contract and try to do a sign-and-trade, I don't think the Suns are going to do a deal like that with the Lakers. I just don't think they want to. It's going to be interesting, though, because priority number one now for this team is to surround those three guys with a lot of shooting, because there is... Right now, LeBron James, even if they bring back, you know, THT, Caruso, whoever, unless you really believe in Marc Gasol as a shooter, LeBron is the best shooter on this team right now. And again, there's enough talent here to where talent might just be able to win out because those three guys are that good, assuming they're healthy. But I think you're probably looking at bringing Ben McLemore back, just because he's a guy who's not afraid to let it fly, who you can get on a minimum contract. Maybe you bring back Markieff on another minimum contract. You just need to get any guys in here who can space the floor at all.
Yeah, I can see your point. But I don't know. We'll just have
like
to
see we might be getting into like Nick Young, J.R. Smith, Channing Frye territory as far as like just getting any shooters you can. I'm just kidding about
what's
that.
What's Kyle Korver doing?
Kyle Korver's relaxing at home, I would assume.
Yeah, listen, get him out there.
Please do.
Let's see, what other 3-point shooters can we? Is Mark Price available? Anyways, we'll just have to see what happens. But anything else from the draft you want to talk about, or I know you're gonna, like you said, I know you're doing the episode with your friends that you record with. Is there anything else you want to share?
I would say we're probably going to focus mostly on, you know, the Cavs situation in the next episode. Drafting Mobley, picking up Chandler Vaudrin as an undrafted free agent who we're going to see in Summer League. Another guy I got to watch play in person this summer who I think is really, really good. I was thrilled to see the Cavs take a chance on him. Shout out to Justin Turner.
Yep. Go ahead.
I was going to say, shout out to Justin Turner, Bowling Green guard who is with the Summer League or with the Spurs Summer League team, name to watch for everyone out there.
Cool. Oh yeah, because you worked with him directly. For those of you who don't know,
I did. Yeah,
Justin works for the men's basketball team at Bowling Green.
I do,
and that's a fun time. So, congrats to him. Can you take any credit whatsoever for him being good at basketball?
I mean, probably not good at basketball, but maybe making his life easier during the basketball season.
Oh, there we go. We'll give you 0.00001%. How does that sound?
Yeah.
That sound good?
You know what? I rebounded for him quite a bit, so I'll take an ounce of credit.
All right, perfect. All right, on that note, we'll be back at some point whenever Team USA plays their next game. I don't know when they're going to play. It hasn't been announced yet. It won't be announced probably until tomorrow. But we'll find out. We'll find out what's going to happen, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode.
Hey, Hoopheads. We all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com/teampricing to learn more. That's ARYSE.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.